I am continuing a series called Prison Stories. Today is part three, Bring My Soul Out of Prison, a quotation from our first scripture. Psalm 142 reads like this. I love the brutal self-honesty that David continually represents in the Psalms. And if you're too religious, you might find it off-putting. But if you understand human nature and understands God's response to the unveiling of our hearts in integrity, as believers, as people, we are only as healthy as we are honest. And God helps us be transparent and walk in really self-honesty. Here it is. I cried out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I made my supplication, my prayer. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him all my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, I love that word because it really can represent those difficult moments in life when we feel that we're not able to withstand the waves of continually difficult and even oppressive things we walk through. We feel overwhelmed by it. But we have a lifeguard who specializes in saving us from the storms that try to drown our souls. When I was overwhelmed, my spirit was overwhelmed. You knew my path, the way that I walk. You knew where I was. You knew what I needed. You knew what I was going through. Look on my right hand and see there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. We can feel like that when people disappoint us. But when people fail us, Jesus never does. When people leave us, he never will. I cried out to you, Lord. I said, you are my refuge. Now he's getting to the point of healing and worship. My portion in the land of the living, attend to my cry, for I'm brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Here it is. Bring my soul out of prison, that I might praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. I love David's process. I love how he begins by acknowledging how intensely felt the difficulties that he's going through are. It's not just external events, it's their impact on his soul. He's honest. He's unveiling his heart to God. He's being transparent, and I just love how he's working through it. God's big enough to handle our complaint or our prayers. They're sometimes the same thing. He's big enough to handle your burden. Sometimes people aren't. And I love how he works. You know, often he'll say, God, help me. Kill my enemies. Let their hair fall out. Let their teeth rot. Let worms eat their intestines. And he ends by saying, you are so good. I love you and worship you. But what was he doing? He's working through life's difficult moments. But he said something so powerful. He said, sometimes the prison isn't where our bodies are. It's where our souls are. Bring my soul out of prison that I might praise your name. I have found that if the devil can't stop your praise, he can't steal your breakthrough. That praise, when we worship God, good things happen. I want to read now a companion kind of verses from Jeremiah chapter 52, the last chapter. This story is told identically twice in the Old Testament. We'll read it from this passage. Jeremiah 52, 31, just three verses, four verses. Now it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, the 12th month, the 25th day, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and brought him out of prison. Just all kinds of things. So this young man, he's still young because he went to prison as a boy. He was a boy king, conquered by Babylon, and he has been in prison more than he was free. His entire adult life, he lived as a prisoner, even though he was a born king. There are so many kings and queens in prison. And a new king came and saw him. And then one of his first actions was to lift his head and bring him out. He brought him out. No matter how long your prison sentence has been, Jesus can still set you free. I love the Bible includes sometimes important detail, none of it unessential, all of it having relative consequence, so that we can understand a certain man sick 35 years, or 38 years, laid by the pool of Bethesda, a woman with an issue 12 years. All these dates. So we can understand no matter how long you've had it, Jesus can still heal it. That we never want to withdraw our faith that God can heal the place where we're hurting or bound. Never. So 37 years. And this king, the new king of Babylon's not done. He spoke kindly to him, verse 32. He spoke kindly to him. There's no kindness in prison. There isn't in modern prisons. We can hardly fathom the grotesque brutality, inhumane conditions in prisons in antiquity. There was so much power given to the people that ran the prisons. And they would assert this unjust, torturous dominion over those that they kept prison. And the new king introduces him to a new vocabulary. And gave him a more prominent seat than those of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So he changed his seating arrangement. So Jehoiachin, by the way, his name means God will establish. It's amazing. The Bible gives us names that don't always correlate to our current circumstances. The Bible says you're more than a conqueror, and you read that right after the week you got conquered by 10 things. I don't feel like more than a conqueror. The Bible tells you who you are in God's eyes. And something powerful happens when we finally start seeing ourselves the way God does. Wow. So he brought him out, he spoke kindly to him, gave him a more prominent seat than every other king. So Jehoiachin then responded. How did he respond? He changed out of his prison garments, and he ate bread regularly before the king all the days of his life, the inference at the king's table. As for his provisions, his needs, necessities, there was a regular ration given him by the king of Babylon, a portion for each day until the day of his death, all the days of his life. God was using Moses. He's prophesying to the tribes. I think it's the tribe of Asher. In Deuteronomy, Moses says, as your days go, so shall your strength be. It's the promise of whatever the day demands, my grace will be more than enough in that moment. God's already walked through your life and put into every moment, every day, every year of your life, more than enough of what you need to survive, not just survive, to overcome, to fulfill his promise. There's a heavenly ration, a provision for your life already established by God. So I want to talk about these amazing verses, and we'll talk about our wonderful Jesus. The first thing the new king of Babylon did was he's not bound by the traditions of maybe two or three of his predecessors. He looks at things honestly, maybe with a integrity. You know, God will let people, even in a secular world, have thoughts about you that God put in their mind. And this king looks at him and he's going to help him. And so Jehoiachin is down here in prison. This red chair represents Jehoiachin's place in prison. And the new king of Babylon, who has now, he's ruling the known world, that their power is amazing and has all of this riches and all of these other kings. But he looks down and he reaches out. Now, here's my first point. Jesus is the lifter of your head. When someone lives in an environment for 37 years that is torturously difficult, that is oppressive, that is traumatic, that is unjust, unjust, that is really intense, it's going to have all kinds of effect. And as a parent, you know, if you've ever seen a child, maybe if you're not a parent, you can just look at children. They're often very honest in their display of emotions. And a child often, when they're upset, the angry or discouraged, will drop their head. There'll be a physical reaction. And so the Bible says that the first thing Jehoiachin did is he lifted the head. Or the first thing the king did for Jehoiachin was to lift his head. Psalm 3:3 says, our God is a shield to us. He's a deliverer, a redeemer, a restorer. He's the lifter of our head. Jesus Christ sets the human soul free from every prison of oppression we've ever been bound into. Now let's begin by this simple comparison. As Pastor George said so beautifully in our communion time, Jesus wasn't, his existence did not begin in a manger. He was eternally existent as the Word of God, the Son of God, eternally alive. He's omnipotent. He was omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He possessed all the virtues, attributes of God. But God, in his sovereign providence, when he made the world, the Bible says, God saw, he knew by foreknowledge what would happen, that mankind would betray him, disobey him, and create a fall because of sin. And before the world was made, the Bible says that Christ is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. God, there was a conversation in the Godhead before he made the universe saying, Son, do you see if we make the world, if we create man, do you see what will happen? Do you see what the only answer is, that you go and rescue them? And the Bible says, Jesus said yes before God even spoke out the first breath of let there be light. Jesus is the representation of God's love for us. And we can't fathom it, what it would be like to lay aside our divine privilege and to climb down off of the mountain of eternal power and grace and perfection and come into the world that was fallen and sinful. Jesus came down to where we are because we couldn't climb up. There was no way up to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. We couldn't make it to God. The only salvation we could have is if God came to us. And God so loved us, the Bible says, he sent his Son. He gave us Jesus Christ to forgive our sins, to redeem our life, to bring us back to the Father. We couldn't come to God, and God came to us. Jesus did not come into the world to join the prison, to commiserate with the prisoners. He identifies with us, but he doesn't stay in the prison of our bondage. He didn't come into a fallen world to stay there. He comes down to where we are to lift us up to where he is. He came down to rescue me, but then he lifted me up to be with him. That's the grace and mercy of a just and loving God who knew we could not save ourselves but came for us. He's the lifter of our head. Now let's talk about this in Phoenix, Arizona, in the United States, in all of the world. Every person that has ever been born throughout history was born as a prisoner in the captive held cell of a sinful condition, and we couldn't fix ourselves. There was no remedy. There was no way out. And so all of mankind was born there, And people that have found the saving grace of Christ have been brought out of prison into fellowship with God. The greatest burden in life is the heaviness on the human soul of unforgiven sins. And every person that doesn't know Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, carries around this burden. They try all kinds of therapies and all kinds of medication to try and behaviors to try to get rid of the burden. But there's only one thing that can liberate the human soul from the burden of sin. That's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He came for us. He rescued us. He redeemed us. He saved us. Your worst day as a Christian is better than your best day as a sinner. You always have a reason to worship God. He's the lifter of our head. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any person is in Christ Jesus, they're a new creation, a new creature, a new species. Old things gone. Passed away, and all things have become new. God doesn't look at me as a prisoner in his family. God sees me as a son. I was a sinner, but now I'm a child of God. I was lost, but now I'm found. And so after 37 years, he's rescued. And these are cool words. The word lifted in the Hebrew, nakah, means to accept, to advance, to arise, to forgive someone, to show favor, to help them, to pardon. The word kindly, tube, means good, beautiful, better, cheerful, gracious, joyful, sweet, precious, favor, prosperity, will. The king introduces him to a whole new world, a world of kindness. Point number two, Jesus is the only one that can bring our soul out of every prison life ever puts us into. Sometimes saved people still are living in prisons. And we as believers have the right to freedom because of Jesus. Everything God gives you is because of Jesus. Every gift God gives you is because of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. The Bible says this, when Christ began his ministry, he read this scripture, quoted this at Nazareth, and he said this, the Spirit of the Lord God's upon me, quoting Isaiah 60, because he hath anointed me. This happened in the baptism at the Jordan, to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Oh, my goodness. It's a park there. Jesus Christ healed Michael Maiden from a clinical manic suicidal depression 25 years ago. He healed my broken heart. I don't know what you're going through. I just know the doctor. You have to try my doctor. He has a 100% track record. He's the healer. And he goes on to tell us about his ministry to proclaim liberty to captives or prisoners. To proclaim liberty to prisoners. That's the gospel. The gospel is you can be free. That Christ died to set you free. And that in him, your soul, your spirit, your life can be free from every prison that life would try to bind you into. To set at liberty those who are oppressed, to bring recovery of sight to the blind, to proclaim the year of Jubilee, the acceptable year of the Lord. Christ read that. It's funny, he read that, closed the book and said, today this is fulfilled in your ears. He said, they all knew, a practicing Jew, especially a serious student and follower of rabbinic teaching would have already known that verse. And he said, I'm the one doing it. I'm the one doing it. The world, like Pastor George said, all of history is marked by one event. That at the cross, Jesus broke the curse. He broke the devil's power. He liberated mankind from the prison of sin. And now we are the redeemed of the Lord. Bring my soul out of prison. Only Jesus could, and he did. If you've never met him, today is your prison liberation day. If you as a believer have been living, struggling with some imprisoning reality, today is your freedom day. Psalm 124 says this. It's a beautiful verse. Our soul, once again, David talking about getting free on the inside. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare, the trap, the strategy, the trickery, the deception of the fowler, the bird catcher. The snare is broken. Let me say it like this. The curse is broken. The deception is broken. The bondage is broken. The trauma is broken. The pain is broken. Whatever held you can't hold you any longer because someone greater came and destroyed the power of that snare. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. The name of Jesus. Turn to someone and say, the curse is broken. Point number three, God has a different conversation for you to participate in and a new seating arrangement to share with you. Jehoiachin sat in the prison seat 37 years. Really defining his life, his permanent residence had been in a cell of bondage, oppression, and the long-term effect of living with that event for 37 years is the diminishing reality of his identity, who he was. He was a born king who had become a bound prisoner. See, if you have something long enough, it'll try to assert itself to define you. This is who you are. But it's always an untruth. It's always a lie, deception, because you are who God says you are. And so Jehoiachin sat in the seat of a prisoner for 37 years. He couldn't tell everyone there what I was once a king. I once had a kingdom. I once had servants, I once had authority. No one in prison cares about that. He's just trying not to get killed. You with me? He's just trying not to get beat up. He's just trying not to starve. I suppose they fought over food. I mean, there's endless things he had to endure. But the king, the Bible says, saw him, lifted his face, brought him out, and then went to work at him. Here's what he said. I've got a new seat for you. It's up here next to me. I want you to sit here right next to me. And so he was brought out of the environment, the atmosphere of bound people, into the environment of free people. And not just free people, kings. You see, the conversation among kings is different than the conversation among prisoners. The dream of prisoners is to have a good meal. The dream of kings is to conquer new territory, is to win another victory. And so the Bible says that this young Babylonian king understood the trauma, and he introduced him to a new conversation, a new vocabulary called kindness. Kind people are God's kind of people. The Bible says, know you not, it's the kindness of God that leads you to repentance. It's translated goodness, it's the Greek word for kindness. It's his kindness that introduces us to his redemptive work. So he's now hearing different things. Now, it's one thing, see, the moment you came to Christ, the spiritual part of you, you're a triune being like God. You're a triune, you're a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. So your spirit is immortal, is eternal. The moment you came to Christ, God took out of your spirit sinfulness, brokenness, fallen nature, and put into it the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You can't get more righteous than Jesus, and he put his righteousness in your spirit. So my spirit is perfectly saved, perfectly righteous. Well, the pastor, what's the issue? My soul is a mess. My mind, my will, and my emotion. So my earthly journey is to get my soul to align with my spirit. How do I do that? By renewing my mind. Be not conformed to this world, Romans 12:2. Why, the world's crazy, always has been. Don't let the world pressure you into someone you're not called to be, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So my journey is to introduce God's thoughts into my thought life. Stay with me. He wrote his thoughts down. It's called the Bible. And when I put his thoughts into my thought life, it transforms the way I think. When you change the way you think, you change the way you live. So I'm called to do that. And so whatever side, I want you to get this. Whatever side my soul aligns with, my fallen flesh or my redeemed spirit, that side gains ascendancy or authority. Come on. When my soul refuses to let go of a prisoner status, it aligns with the fallen flesh. When my soul believes God's promises that I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me, that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that I can do all things through Christ who saved me, that I'm a new creature in Christ. When I align with that, I align with my spirit, and then we exercise dominion over my stupid flesh. All flesh is stupid. Your body's hungry. Feed me. When your spirit and soul align together, shut up. Good sermon. We're going to finish it out here. So God gives us the tools by the throne room conversation. Colossians 3 says it like this beautifully. If you're risen with Christ, we are. That's a true truth. Seek those things which are above. Okay, that's beautiful, but it can be a little generic. Then he narrows it down. Here's how it works. Set your mind on things above, not on CNN or Fox or News, whatever you're saturating your mind with. I'm not against being aware of things. I'm against being dominated by that news instead of that news. God wants us to renew our minds. As believers, you have to stop believing the lie that God's mad at you. He's sitting in the most prominent seat in the kingdom of Babylon. And he's having to renew his mind. Probably one of the first things Jehoiachin had to deal with was, how come God allowed that? He had to renew his mind. God's not mad at me. God's not mad at me. You have to stop believing the lie that you're unwanted, that you're unimportant, that you're unloved. You have to stop believing the lie that your life has no consequence, no value, no meaning, no significance, no purpose, no destiny. You have to stop believing the lie that you're ugly. You have to stop believing the lie that no one loves you. I wrote a whole Western album about no one loving me. Truth, country Western. You have to stop believing lies. It's too late for you. The Bible says he gives old men dreams. As long as you're alive, there's a purpose for your life. You're never too old for a new dream. God wants you to dream, baby, dream. So God helps us get free. And when we get free, it's because we're thinking differently. We become capable of expanding the kingdom of God when we begin to think like the King. That's what God has for us. We will experience the kingdom of God to the degree that we renew our minds with the Word of God. I don't want to get to heaven and find out all the things that could have been, should have been, might have done, could have done. I want them now. In heaven, there's perfect understanding, but I want as much as I can get now. And so much of it revolves around that we don't need another cross. We don't need another Pentecost. The Holy Spirit's here. The cross has won. We need to identify, understand by revelation, and experience by faith the truths, the promise, and the grace of Pentecost and Calvary. That's what we need. We have it here, and so much of it happens when we change the way we think. When we align our hearts, our minds with God. Point number four, it's time to take off your prison garments and put on your new identity in Christ. The Bible says, and I like the language, because the king of Babylon lifted him up, brought him out, spoke kindly over him. Oh. If you want to help someone that's hurting, be kind. It was the continual kindness of the voice of the king that began to heal the brokenness of the former prisoner. Everyone deserves to have an encounter with God where they feel his kindness so deeply and personally. Man, I love it when God allows me to be part of those moments. But Jehoiachin now, he's free. He's got a new seat, a new meal. He's got a new environment. But they all looked at him. He's still wearing his prison garment. And he realized he had to change his garment to accept his new season. Ultimately, God leaves it up to us whether we embrace or reject the identity he's given us in Christ, if we're going to wear it or not. The Bible says in that same chapter, Colossians 3, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. I like to say it like this. Keep putting on the new until it's really you. Keep putting on the new. In psychology, they call it cognitive behavioral therapy. It was kind of a breakthrough in psychology when they decided, instead of always unearthing all the issues of the past, often just helping someone put in new thoughts can liberate them from the grip of old pain. And of course, the Bible calls that renewing our minds. That's amazing. Now, God will do both. He will heal our past, but there's power in the revelation of God's word. Put on the new. I want to say some things over you. I declare in Jesus' mighty name, you are accepted in the Beloved. You're anointed by the Holy Spirit of heaven. You're living an abundant life, John 10:10. I declare over you, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I declare over you, you're called, you're chosen before the foundation of the world. You're comforted by the Holy Spirit, and you're a conqueror. I declare you're delivered from every evil work of darkness, from every weapon of hell, from the power of Satan himself. I declare you have everlasting life, eternal life that never ends. I declare all your sins have been forgiven. You are the forgiven of God. You've been given unmerited favor. You've been called a friend of God. A friend of God. I declare that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. I declared in the name of Jesus, by his stripes, you are healed. Your body healed, your mind healed, your soul healed. I declare that hope lives and thrives in your soul. I declare that you're in Christ thriving. In him you live and move and have your being. I declare that you're justified by the shed blood of Christ, just as if you never sinned. I declare that unconquerable joy, unspeakable and full of glory, joy is in you and no one can take it out of you. I declare that you're a king and a priest, that you're walking in God's kindness and you're filled with God's kindness. I declare that you are so loved that nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I declare you are more than a conqueror through him who loved you. I declare no weapon formed against you will prosper, and Jesus Christ will never leave you nor forsake you. I declare you are one with him, and he is one with you, and you are an overcomer. I declare the peace of God guards your heart and keeps you. I declare the power of God lives inside of you. I declare you are the conqueror. You are the redeemed, the restored. You're walking in revelation. I declare you are saved by the precious blood of Jesus. You're sanctified by the work of the cross, and you're satisfied. I declare you're walking in truth day and night, and you're always triumphant, as the Bible says. I declare understanding is yours. Understanding from heaven about every circumstance. I declare you're walking in constant unbroken victory. Victory. A spirit of victory is in you. A spirit of victory. I declare you're a witness. You're a worshiper. I declare you have a spirit of excellence. I declare that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. And the zeal of God is inside of you. That's who you are in Christ Jesus. Come on, stand up and praise God. I love to talk about what Jesus, my first convert, well, not my first convert in ministry, was a Satanist. And that's not an easy way to be introduced. I'm a youth pastor at Canyon Country Assembly of God. I'm preaching to like 8 Assembly of God kids. And a kid came in the back, had a long black trench coat on, black eye makeup, jet black hair. I mean, he scared me. I'm just a church boy. Whoa. So midway through my little message, he fell on the ground, started manifesting, demonic spirit manifest, foaming, started, his body contorted like a snake. It was grotesque and seemed impossible. It started coming down the aisle, knocking chairs down toward me. Well, all the Assembly of God kids had a rapture. They're gone. And my first thought was, we haven't covered this. I was in second year of seminary. We haven't covered this yet in Bible college. But I grew up in a Jesus people church. And I saw 1,000 people set free from demonic powers. So I suddenly realized, I'm a devil casting out anointed man of God. And I walked down and I commanded that devil to leave that boy. He screamed. Long time, it was very dramatic. When he got up, he said, "Where am I?" I said, "You're in church. A demon just left you." He was radically born again. I had revival. He wasn't just a Satanist. He was the high school drug dealer. Next thing I know, like a month later, there's 150 kids were having revival because of a Satanist who got saved. Now, listen. A Satanist got saved because a 20-year-old knowing nothing kid knew that I might be young in the ministry, but I have authority over the devil. The devil will push you around until you understand who you are. You can't have my family. You can't have my whatever it is. And your identity unlocks your authority. Prayer team, join me down front. I need to stop preaching. Beginning my second message. I preached 4 messages today. One of them is bound to help you. Pick which one. Jesus Christ is the same every day, yesterday, today, and forever. He still saves, he heals, he delivers, he changes, transforms. Today, we'd be so honored to pray for anyone in this church that has never received the greatest gift on earth. Is the gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. If you've not yet received him, man, today's your day. Today's your day. If you've been away from God in your walk, make this today your turnaround day. Welcome home. He's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. Begin the next chapter of your walk with God. If you need a healing in your body or your mind or your heart, we believe that he heals, and we love to pray the prayer of faith. Maybe you're just having a really tough time I want prayer for some other reason. If you want prayer or need prayer for any of those reasons, would you please come forward? Church, just for 90 seconds longer, if you'd worship God with me while those seeking prayer come forward.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. Hey, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. 'Cause I am a child of God. I am a child of God.
Mary and I love you. We're honored and humbled to serve here. Have a wonderful week. Stay here as long as you'd like. We'll be praying next half an hour. Stay until everyone that wants prayer receives it. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend. Tell someone Jesus loves them like crazy. God bless you.